Hi, I'm Sarah Kreimans, Extension Educator with the University of Minnesota Extension and Project Lead for the Military Families Learning Network Family Transitions Team. We provide professional development, resources, and networking opportunities for military family service professionals as they help military service members and families build resilience and navigate life cycle transitions. We invite you to engage with us and your colleagues in conversations on military life cycle issues. Today, I am joined by Dr. Leanne Knobloch, and we're going to be talking about a new piece of research that she's been working on. Dr. Knobloch is at the Department of Communications at the University of Illinois. She joined the department in 2002 after earning her PhD from the University of Wisconsin at Madison. Leanne's research and teaching interests are in the field of interpersonal communications. She studies how people communicate with spouses, dating partners, and family members during times of transition. Leanne also teaches classes on conflict management, relationship development, and research methods. Welcome, Leanne.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm excited to be here.
Well, this is really great. This is actually our second time coming together. And so the second podcast that folks will find on the Family Transitions website, and we'll be giving that URL at the end. But I'm so excited to learn more about the research study that you have been working on. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the study?
It was a really fun project to work on for a couple of reasons. One was that I was able to collaborate with my twin sister, Dr. Lynn Knobloch-Fetters, who is a faculty member in the Department of Counselor Education and Counseling Psychology at Marquette University. And we also got to partner with Dr. Jeremy Jorgensen, who is a faculty member in the School of Family Life at Brigham Young University. The project was funded by the Congressionally Directed Medical Research Programs through the Military Operational Medicine Research Program. And our objective in the study was to understand how people's relationship characteristics and aspects of their mental health predict their difficulty with reintegration during reunion following deployment. So we really wanted to understand how and when are people experiencing distress upon reunion following deployment. And so to do that, we asked 555 military couples to complete an online questionnaire once per month for 8 consecutive months beginning at homecoming. So at each time point, returning service members and at-home spouses reported on characteristics of their relationship, aspects of their mental health, and also the difficulty that they were having with reintegration. Our participants came from all branches, and they included active duty, reserve component, and National Guard service members.
Great. When, as I was reading the summary of the project and paper, you talked about applying the relationship turbulence theory to the study. That was new to me. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so I've been working on relational turbulence theory for a couple of decades now, actually. And the theory says that times of transition are challenging within relationships. So the basic idea is that transitions are turbulent, and the theory identifies two characteristics of relationships that contribute to this upheaval during times of transition. And let me just give you some information on those relationship characteristics. One is uncertainty about relationships. So people often have questions about their relationship after a big transition, including after deployment, right? They might be uncertain about the status of their relationship, whether their partner is a different person now after the deployment, or what the future holds for them. The theory also identifies changes to everyday routines as a second relationship characteristic that may be stressful during times of transition. And when we think about reunion after deployment, we expect that returning service members and at-home partners, they might have trouble coordinating their daily schedules, and they might have difficulty getting used to being in the same house again. So in this study, we examined uncertainty and disruptions as relationship characteristics that may open the door to difficulty with reintegration, because those are the relationship dynamics that the theory says should really matter during times of transition.
Thank you. That's really helpful. And as you were describing that, I was reflecting back to when my husband returned from his two deployments, and it's interesting to think about that. I was really intrigued by the findings from this study, and you have several major findings. Why don't you share about those?
Well, one key finding was that at-home partners reported more difficulty with reintegration at all waves. And so we asked for those 8 waves, we asked returning service members and at-home partners or spouses to report on their level of reintegration difficulty. And we were a bit surprised to find that at-home spouse was reporting more reintegration difficulty. Now, this is important because at-home partners sometimes get overlooked, right, in systems of care. But these data show that it can be distressing to be the person left behind and then have to adjust to the return of a partner.
For sure. Other findings. What else did you find in the study?
We tracked reintegration difficulty across the transition, and we found that reintegration difficulty was highest during the second wave of our study, which was approximately 4 to 5 weeks after homecoming. And so these findings verified what couples were telling us anecdotally, that there's a honeymoon period that gives way to a delayed onset of distress. And we had heard that sort of informally from military couples and families, but from our perspective, it was important to verify that scientifically to have those data to be able to track across the transition to really identify when the upheaval is most distressing for couples.
Great. So that 4 to 5 week period, that really makes sense when you think about once the honeymoon period and all the celebrations and everything happens, then reality starts to set in.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, the stress kind of hits after we get back to everyday life and we try to settle back into our routines and the parties are sort of done with and it's an adjustment period and that matters for couples to know about because we don't want them to have the expectation that that honeymoon period, when that disappears, that something is wrong in their relationship or that that there's something big that they're in trouble at all.
Right,
It's to be
right.
expected.
So, what predicted reintegration difficulties for couples?
Well, people who experienced more uncertainty and more disruptions to their everyday routines encountered more difficulty with reintegration. So that supported relational turbulence theory because those relationship characteristics were predictors of difficulty with reintegration across transition. We also examined mental health symptoms and individuals who were reporting more mental health symptoms were experiencing more reintegration difficulty as well. But especially powerful predictors were post-traumatic stress symptoms for returning service members and depressive symptoms for at-home partners.
So definitely to pay attention to those predictors is so very important for the couples and for those service providers who are working with them.
Absolutely.
Great. Let's talk a little bit about implications. What suggestions do you have for families?
Our study implies two takeaway points for military families, and one is what you just mentioned, which is to remain on the lookout for mental health symptoms and to seek help from a professional if needed. So, returning military personnel may benefit from clinical programs targeting post-traumatic stress symptoms, right? At-home partners may particularly benefit from programs targeting depressive symptoms. And recognize that it really takes courage to ask for help. Sometimes people feel embarrassed to seek help, but in fact, reaching out for assistance is a sign of great personal strength. A second takeaway for families is that military couples may benefit from addressing unresolved questions, right, and troubleshooting disruptions to their everyday goals. So those relationship characteristics that we studied, working to minimize uncertainty and minimize disruptions to daily routines might help reduce the stress of reintegration.
Excellent. What about some implications for those service providers?
Our study suggests two key guidelines for military family service providers as well. And one is to make sure that spouses have ample support. Remember, we found that spouses were reporting more difficulty with reintegration across all waves. And so prevention and intervention programs should include outreach efforts tailored to the needs of at-home partners because they are experiencing difficulty with reintegration as well. It's not just the returning service member that's having difficulty. It's also the person who stays behind and then is readjusting with the family across these transitions. And then second, I would say to the military family service providers, be mindful about when you're offering services. So support for military couples may be especially helpful 4 to 5 weeks after homecoming, after returning service members and their families settle in, but before problems become entrenched. And so if you're trying to offer services too soon, when those families are in the honeymoon stage, they might really have information overload. And there's a lot that they're dealing with just getting back and adjusting. But if you can target those services at a time when they're most relevant, then you might have more uptake for those military couples.
Great. So there's that sweet spot when information would be most helpful.
Yeah, that's what this finding suggests to us. So we're excited to kind of dig into that more in future research also.
Definitely. Great, great. Any other things that you want to share about this study at all? And then I'm going to move us into a few resources.
Well, we always want to give a shout out to the folks who participated in the study because their support, you know, without people who volunteer to be in research, we don't get this kind of data. And we really found a big overwhelming response to our advertising procedures, partially because we said, hey, we're looking for this information to help military couples and families adjust more effectively in the future. And that seemed to really resonate with people. They wanted to share their story so that they could help pave the way for services and support for families down the road. And we just really, really appreciate that.
Excellent. Most definitely, we need that participation to identify these findings, right, to be more effective in the future. So that's great. Leanne and I have also been talking about developing a blog, and she's going to be working on that shortly. So you will find a blog posted at our Military Families Learning Network Family Transitions webpage to accompany this podcast, so you can learn a little bit more about the research project and the findings and the implications. And as I indicated earlier, this is actually a second interview that I've done with Leanne here, and you will be able to find that first podcast and a first blog as well on our MFLN, Military Families Learning Network Family Transitions page. And again, that one talked about or looked at the communication of military couples during deployment, predicting generalized anxiety upon reunion. So definitely look for those resources. I want to thank folks for listening to our conversation today as Dr. Leanne Knobloch has been sharing that with us. And again, it's just, I think, really wonderful to be able to have some very tangible pieces from the research that service providers can use and apply to their work with service members and their families. So again, we encourage folks to check out the previous podcast and the blogs and any of our other Military Family Learning Network Family Transitions resources. And you can find those at militaryfamilieslearningnetwork.org/family-transitions. We thank you for joining us. We're hoping you'll be joining us again in future podcasts. Have a great day.
This material is based on work supported by the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Office of Military Family Readiness Policy, U.S. Department of Defense Award Number 2015-48770-24368.